Another episode of the Game Boys podcast. I'm Pat, and I'm here with my buddy.
Hey, everybody! It's good to be here on this beautiful Saturday evening.
His name's Christopher Bowman.
My name's Christopher.
All right, so let's see. What are you? Let's just get right into it, okay?
What am I?
What have you been doing?
I've actually
been your wife.
Watching a lot of movies this past week.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I saw 3 movies this week.
Okay.
2 of them were trash.
Yeah.
Well, one was less trash than the other, and one was really good.
Okay. What were they?
Saw Isle of Dogs.
Uh-huh.
I know you saw that.
Yeah, I loved it.
Loved it a lot. And then I saw actually a video game-based movie based off of...
Oh, God.
Rampage.
Oh, okay. I thought it was Ready Player One.
No. I have not seen it.
I'd rather see Rampage.
I think so, too. With Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. So, and then I finished it off last night. I randomly had a night off, so I went and saw Super Troopers 2.
Okay. So, I have no attachment to the series.
Then you have no reason to watch it.
Yeah.
I talked to Lars, too, and he said he hadn't seen the first one, so I just went, there's no reason to watch these movies.
From what I've heard about Rampage, it sounds like Dwayne Johnson has hit rock bottom.
What have you heard about it? Have you heard anything about it?
It was just not just generic action movie, not particularly bad or good.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt. Like I got bored in the same way that I would have of any crappy action.
Those are the
movie.
Worst kind of movies, though. I'd rather watch a really bad movie that's like so bad that it's kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
Versus one that's just so in the middle that it's like putting me to sleep, which is how Justice League was for me.
It was pretty funny. The references they would make to the video game were like so forced and silly.
Okay, but here's the real question. Did any monster rip a person out of a window and eat them?
One person was eaten.
Out of a window?
Not out of a window.
Bullshit.
Though. Funny, my brother had the same complaint. He just went, I don't understand, no one's been eating people yet. And I'm just, okay,
I mean,
what do you expect out of this movie?
There's only like 4 or 5 elements to the game Rampage at all. If you're gonna do a movie on it, you should at least cover all the bases.
Hey, George ate one person. Spoiler out there, I don't know if you guys are
thought George was the good boy.
Well, he kind of is and kind of is not.
Out of all the other monsters, the wolf and the dragon thing, they have the guy you're supposed to be sympathetic towards eat a person.
Well, I mean, the whole if we're really gonna dive into the lore of Rampage, what happened in this movie is that it's basically a science experiment that was being conducted in space.
Wait. From humans or aliens?
From humans.
Okay.
And they, I guess, were conducted in space. I don't know why it had to be done in space, but whatever.
It was so dangerous.
Something, I guess. Yeah, maybe. So they came up with this chemical that would cause animals or whatever life forms to grow rapidly in all parts of DNA, and they would adapt all sorts of parts of DNA, like all the best parts of DNA,
okay,
so to speak. And then it would also cause them to go into a rampage because it would get their emotions super high, and that was one of the side effects of it. So what happens is, in the beginning of the movie, this isn't really a spoiler because it happens in the beginning, is that the
nobody cares about spoilers for Rampage.
The experiment crashes. The chemical basically lands back on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where like the crocodile in the water like gets a hold of it, and then the wolf gets a hold of it, and then George the gorilla gets a hold of it. So the whole movie is basically Dwayne Johnson's like attachment to George. He loves this gorilla, and he's trying to save it and figure out how to cure it.
Mm-hmm.
And everything. But it's also becoming an insane monster too because it's overtaken by this chemical.
Right.
So that's the whole plot for it. So it wasn't, like, honestly, I'm not going to sit here and say it was a terrible fucking movie because I've seen way worse movies out there.
Right.
I was entertained, mildly entertained.
Okay.
And this is one of those movies, and I actually want to, After, I want to talk about MoviePass real quick, because this is one of those movies that is a MoviePass movie to me.
And
it's the whole reason that I even saw Super Troopers 2.
Yeah.
So, I guess my first topic was going to be about MoviePass. Just how has the service been? Like, so those of you who don't know, most people know what MoviePass is by now. But MoviePass is just a insane service where, what was it, the co-creator of Netflix apparently mm-hmm. came up with this. And it used to be a service where it was $50 a month. And I think you got maybe a handful.
40, I think it was 40 a month. And I think it was unlimited. That $40 a month plan, I think, was unlimited.
Was it? I thought it was limited. But regardless of what it was,
what it is now,
it's $10 a month, and you get unlimited movies.
One a day.
So
30 movies a month.
Yeah, but now the service has been kind of taking steps back because apparently the unlimited option is not available anymore for first-time users, and you get iHeartRadio subscription, which who fucking cares?
And four movies a month.
And apparently, I don't know if this is true, a part of it. I heard that apparently you can only watch one movie a week under that plan.
Oh.
I don't know about that, but that would suck a lot.
Yeah. I mean, really, I don't have much to say about it for those people, because everyone said at the beginning when it started, this ain't going to be around very long. Like, you better get on while you can, because everyone, like, that was the general consensus in my eyes on like, message boards and stuff I was on, was like, okay, get in here and get on now, because I guarantee you in a year when that subscription expires and it's time to renew, you're not going to have the same deal. Yeah. You're not going to get $10 a month unlimited movies.
When you told me about it, it sounded so absurd that I didn't even think that I could get it within a week or two of it being announced, because the website crashed and everything.
Yeah.
And I remember it was difficult to even like sign up for it. So I had kind of already went, okay, I guess I can't get it. And then you went, no, like you can still sign up for it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so there was no excuse for all those people out there who didn't get it, because it was available for a while.
And what's even crazier is that after a few months of them doing it, they went, we're doing a sale. Now it's $7.95 a month.
Kept getting better. You had to pay for the whole year, but still, that's
sure
ridiculous.
So you pay $85 or whatever, and you can go see 360 movies a year.
Yeah.
So
it's absurd. So I guess my argument is now is that, is MoviePass done? And what
probably
is the future of it?
That's what seems to be the case, is that they're not doing that unlimited plan again. I don't think they even know the future of it. I think that's why they continuously keep changing their plans of, all right, it's $10 a month for unlimited. Now it's $8.95 a month. Then they dropped it to like $6.95 for a bit. But then they had a special and it was the four movies a month. And now that's the only one that's offered. And then they were asked about whether or not they were going to keep doing the unlimited one. And they were like, we don't know.
Yeah.
So
I think the whole thing's an experiment. Just
sure. I think they're trying to find a sweet spot of what is reasonable.
Yeah.
What can they get away with? What can they charge, et cetera? And, you know, even at $7.95 a month for four movies is still a great deal.
I think the only reason we're even saying right now that we're kind of cringing at that idea of four movies for $10 a month is because we're so spoiled by it now. If you had talked to me before I had ever even heard of MoviePass, and you said there's a service out there where it's $10 a month, you get four movies a month,
mm-hmm.
I would have been like, oh my god, I would have hopped on that too.
$2.50 a movie.
Yeah. So I don't know. I hope it sticks around in some shape or form. Either way, I think it at least made its impact on Hollywood, because there's so many movie theaters out there that are experimenting with their own services now.
Yeah.
It's not like there's multiple services coming out now because of this. So I don't know. I hope it works out, just because it made me realize that I like going to the movies. I almost forgot that I like going to the movies.
Yeah.
I took the sting a lot from going to the movies, because you pay $13, $14.
Right.
And let's say you want a popcorn, you pay like $20.
Mm-hmm.
And then you walk in there, and then people are talking on their cell phone and stuff.
Yep.
So you're just like, I'm never coming back here. I just spent all this money.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely different when you are paying pennies mm-hmm. for a movie. And also, it's easier to just be able to go whenever. So if you that so now it's a lot easier, since I can go whenever and for free, basically, I can it's easier to go during a time where I know there's not going to be a lot of people or whatever. There's no reason, because I could just go whenever I want, there's no reason to, like, coordinate with friends and stuff, and then the only time they can go is on the weekends or at night, and that's when everyone's going to see the movie. I don't feel pressure to do that anymore, because I can just pop in at 1 p.m. if I find myself suddenly free.
I never was like that either, man, because I got that work off randomly, and I actually was just studying at, like, my Starbucks, and then I just looked at the app and went, what's playing right now? And then I looked and saw I was playing in 20 minutes and went, well, okay. I would never do that.
Yeah.
Ever. Because, like, and whenever I saw a movie in the past, it was always sort of planned that I knew that I was going to see the movie that day.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would go out of my way to, like, go to first showings that, so they're only $5, like matinees and things like that. Now it doesn't matter.
Or you're just like, oh, man, I don't want to go during this time because the audience might be annoying. Now you're just kind of like, I don't care. I'm seeing it for free. It's convenient.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a good service, and I feel bad for all of you who didn't sign up for it.
So my point is, I don't think it's ever going to go away because people are trying to, like, there's all these articles online that are basically trying to rip it apart, going, well, it's done with, and people are pissed because they're enforcing that you're not allowed to see the same movie more than once, which was always the case. Like, people were getting banned back then for breaking these rules. Now they're just getting better at not letting you break these rules so they don't ban you, is really what's happening now. So I've had people tell me, oh, well, it's done because now this service is getting less and less cool, and it's just, no, it's still a great service. I don't think it's ever going to go away because of customer service. I think it's going to go away because they can't support it.
Yeah.
It's not sustainable.
Yeah. I mean, if you go to see 2 or 3 movies a month, you're getting your money's worth, especially for me who got the $80, $85 for the year.
Yeah.
That's, you know, 8 movies. So, and I've seen many, many more than that. So, yeah, well, while we're on the topic of movies, I did see Avengers Infinity War. I know you don't care about it, so I'll just go right into my review.
Let's get into it, yeah.
Okay. So, just spoilers from here on out if you haven't seen the movie. Yeah, I went into this movie with relatively low expectations. Avengers 2 wasn't very good at all. And this is, I think we talked about it in the first podcast, I was curious to see how they would handle dealing with like 30, 40 characters.
Being an outsider from this, that was like one of the observations I made. Like,
right.
There's so much crap going on. How are they going to make a coherent storyline?
So, this is like the 18th, 19th movie in the series, all connected. I've seen them all, and I'm definitely getting worn out, or have been worn out. Like, it's just, I used to go see them like opening weekend, and I saw this one. I went to like a matinee showing because I can't stand the crowds.
Every time character gets on and they cheer.
Yeah, exactly. So I went to go see matinee this one, but usually I used to, when they first started coming out, I would go see them opening weekend and stuff. Now I'll wait until it's just convenient. Like when I saw Black Panther, I met my grandfather at the movie theater, but I like misunderstood which showing we were going to, so I met him there. I went there like 3 hours early, and I was 45 minutes from home, and I went, okay, well, I guess I'm stuck here for 3 hours, so I went and saw Black Panther, and it was fine. But so I actually am a big fan of the storyline that they're doing with this one. The Infinity War, it's based off of Infinity Gauntlet, which was a big Marvel storyline, and it's one of my favorites. So I had low expectations for the movie, didn't think it would live up to my love for the comics, and I also thought it would be a mess. It was good. I liked it. I thought it was better than I expected. It's definitely a lot better than Avengers 2. And it had the best villain of any of the Marvel movies so far, which is, that's been their biggest problem. Whenever you hear about complaints about the Marvel movies, it's always, well, the villain was really weak. The villain was a non-existent almost. It's just some random bad guy.
Yeah.
They focused a lot of time. First of all, this movie was 3 hours long.
mean, it had to be.
And this is only the first part.
Oh,
it's
right.
It's a two-part movie. Yeah. So this movie, basically, is 6 hours long. And they focused a lot of time on building the villain, which is, you have to if he's the villain for a six-hour movie. Plus, they've been building this guy up since the first Avengers movie. He was in the post-credit scene or whatever. So the villain is Thanos. And in the books and in the movie, he's on a quest to gather all these Infinity Stones, which are these six stones that are spread across the universe that were created in the Big Bang. And they all represent an element of the universe. So there's a Soul Stone, a Mind Stone, a Power Stone, a Time Stone, a Reality Stone, and, you know, something else. So I always forget one when I'm listing them off. So the point is that when you get the stone, you're the best at, you're able to control whatever that thing is. So the Reality Stone, you're able to control reality. The Time Stone, you're able to control time. The Power Stone, you're the strongest being in the universe. The Mind Stone, you're the smartest being in the universe, and you control minds and things like that. So on and so forth. So when you have all the stones, you're basically God. You can just think things in and out of existence. You can make reality whatever you want it to be. You can, you know, go to any time you want. So, I was curious of how they would handle this, because in the books it's really crazy. Like Wolverine lunges at him and he turns him into he turns his bones into rubber. So he just like falls to the ground.
In the movie that happened?
No, in the books.
Oh, okay.
In the books. So, I was curious to see how they would handle it, because I thought it was a bit of a stretch for the typical moviegoer to be able to be able to accept that. You know, hard sci-fi maybe, but not Avengers, billion-dollar blockbuster. And they did a pretty good job of it. The best scene in the movie was a scene against Thanos, and when he has like three or four of the stones, and Doctor Strange, who's like a wizard, and he can, and they're like, just the entire scene is them doing all their tricks, where it's like bending reality, and it was pretty neat. Lots of special effects that were pretty cool. When he finally gets the gauntlet, so this is the big ending. So the reason why he's getting the gauntlet and why he wants the six Infinity Stones is because it's his job, it's his duty. In the books, he's beholden to death, the cloaked skeleton character. But in the books, it's like a woman, and he's like in love with her. So he's trying to like prove his, and she's given him the duty of cutting the universe's population in half. Because there needs to be balance or whatever. There's too many people in the universe. So she's like, yeah, there needs to be... she doesn't ever speak, but it's implied or told to him through a side character that he needs to cut the population in half of the entire universe. So it's going to take too long. So he says, you know what? I'll get the Infinity Stones. I can do it with a snap of my finger. Well, in the movie, there's no death. I think that's probably too far. I think audiences wouldn't get it. So they just dumbed down his backstory a lot by saying, well, his planet was destroyed by overpopulation. So now he's made it his duty to go through the universe and cut the population of the universe in half to bring prosperity to everyone. So no actual calculation. He literally goes from planet to planet. And he takes the population in half. He goes, half of them stand over here, the other half stand over here, and he just kills half of them. So, the big ending is in the book. So he gets the gauntlet, and he just makes half of the population of the universe disappear, and that's including half of the Avengers. Like, people just disappear, and that's how I wasn't sure if they were going to do it, and they actually did it. That's how the movie ends. That's part one. It's a two-part movie. It ends with him finally getting the last stone, and then he just goes boop, and 50% of the all Spider-Man, all the Guardians of the Galaxy, like, just die. They just disappear into dust.
Wow.
And that's where the movie ends.
Wow.
So apparently, a lot of people don't know the story of the books. Apparently, a lot of people were upset by it. I don't think they realized that it was a two-part movie. You know, because, like I said, it's a billion-dollar movie. Like, that's how much it's going to get in the box office, $2 billion. Those types, so you've got people from everywhere, all walks of life, going to see these movies. And not everyone is like us, where we're like on the internet, on, you know, gaming and news, movie, you know, nerd related sites, where when a new movie gets announced that you hear about it immediately, you know. So I knew, you know, Disney has their D23 conference every year, and that's where Marvel shows off their new movies that they're announcing.
Yeah.
So I knew they announced, yeah, there's going to be a part one and a part two, so I knew that it was going to end, you know, on a cliffhanger. Most people probably don't know that. You know, and this movie was not billed as part one.
No, it was not.
So, yeah, a lot of people were crying and stuff, you know. Very heart-wrenching scenes. I mean, you're not going to go see it, so it doesn't matter. And I've already noted spoilers, so you obviously don't care about it if you're listening. But there's a really heart-wrenching scene. Like, you saw Spider-Man, right?
Yeah.
So it's like a 15-year-old kid. And the whole storyline is that, like, Robert Downey Jr., like Iron Man, is kind of like a mentor to him, and, you know, he looks out for him. He doesn't want him out there fighting bad guys because it's dangerous and he's just a kid. And Spider-Man stows away on the spaceship that they're on. He tells him to go home, and he ends up going with him anyway. And Iron Man, the Guardians of the Galaxy, and Doctor Strange and Spider-Man fight Thanos to try and stop him before he can get to Earth or whatever, and they're on his, like, destroyed home planet, and they're all fighting him, and then, because they have a stone or whatever with them, so Thanos beats him, gets the stone, and disappears, because now he's got, like, four stones, so he has time and space in his control, so he just walks through a portal and goes straight to Earth to get the last stone. And so they're still left on the planet, like, oh, what just happened? Like, we're fucked. And then he goes to Earth, gets the last stone, and that's when he snaps his fingers, and people start turning to dust or whatever. And there's this scene where, like, Spider-Man, this, like, 15-year-old kid, is, like, starts to turn to dust and, like, literally just dies in Iron Man's arms. And he's just like, I don't want to go. Like, I'm scared. And that's where the movie ends on. It's like Iron Man, like, crying because he got this 15-year-old kid involved, and he just dies. And so a lot of people just die at the end. Lots of deaths in this movie.
It sounds like a Marvel movie with balls here.
Yeah, no, lots and lots of deaths in this movie. I mean, the movie opens with Thanos, like, killing main characters. Like, the movie, like, just flat out opens with them on a ship, Thanos is there, and he's just killed a bunch of people on a ship, and one of them was, like, Thor's brother, who's the bad guy in Avengers 1. Yeah, Loki. Yeah. Kills Loki, kills Idris Elba, who's, like, the gatekeeper in Thor, and kills the whole ship, leaves Thor barely alive, and then just disappears and goes off and starts killing more people. Lots of people die in this movie. There's only, out of the 30 or 40 Avengers that they've, you know, or characters that they've established, there's only, like, 10 people left. He just killed, like, more than half of them. So, yeah, like you said, it's a Marvel movie with balls. And they did a better job, like, translating the books into film than I thought they would do. And I thought Thanos was great in it, which that's always a big worry, so. If you, you just heard most of the movie, but if you like Marvel movies and you don't care about spoilers, and, if you've seen probably half or more of the movies, I would recommend going to see it.
Yeah, you kind of sold me on it almost.
Yeah. At this point. It's an entertaining movie, so even if you, I mean, you've seen, have you seen Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah.
You saw Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You saw the other Avengers.
No.
None of them? You haven't seen any of them?
So, like, half of the first one.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, yeah, it's, you probably still enjoy it enough for MoviePass free, you know. So
yeah,
that's I liked it. I definitely give it a recommendation. I mean, it's not like I'm not going to give it an Oscar nod or anything like that, but they handled the amount of people well, because all the people were in groups. That's how they did it. So basically they were just like, oh, Thor ends up running into the Guardians of the Galaxy and they run into somebody else, and then that's one group in this part.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
And then everyone is in Wakanda, which is the Black Panther country, and it's like all the Black Panther people as well as Captain America and his friends are hiding out there as well. So there's like a group focused there, and then you have all the New York Avengers in New York, like Iron Man and Doctor Strange and Spider-Man is in New York and stuff. So you have basically like three or four groups, and that's how they handle that never separate, basically. So that's how they handled the people. And then there's a lot of people that weren't in it. They're just, you know, they're waiting until the second movie because now they need, now there's nobody left, so they're going to need basically everyone they can get. So all the people that were like didn't show up for this one, they're probably going to call up and be like, listen, bro, we need you.
Yeah.
As you've probably already gathered, because half of the people on Earth just disappeared.
Yeah.
So, because, yeah, it's not just heroes. People just disappear.
Right.
They, you know, the final closing scene, like, after the credits or whatever, is, like, people are in New York City and, like, a helicopter just, like, falls out of the sky and, like, cars are crashing everywhere because the drivers disappeared.
Wow.
So, yeah, interesting movie. It's pretty cool. Like, it's just a pretty cool sci-fi movie, really. Like, it's kind of like hard sci-fi because of the way that it's you know, the content that it draws from the books. It's like, you know, it's like a mystical, like, stones that give, that were created in the Big Bang that give you ultimate power and what you can do with it. At one point he turns, you know, he can do whatever. So he like turns bullets into like bubbles, and like he, at one point he turns one of the Guardians of the Galaxy into like confetti or something like that. Just be like, the guy lunges at him, he's just like, oh, you're dead, because he can do that. He just has to think things and they happen. So yeah, it's it was good. Definitely give it a recommendation. So on that note, what else you got for us?
What did you think of Isle of Dogs?
Isle of Dogs, real quick, so we've been talking too much about movies.
But
Isle of Dogs is great. Go see it. It's Wes Anderson, Bill Murray, Jeff Goldblum, Bryan Cranston, yeah, and Edward Norton. Japan, Wes Anderson, stop motion, dogs, if you love dogs. If you love, like, two or three out of the group, you know, go see it. It's, if you like Japan and you like dogs, go see it. If you like Wes Anderson and you like Japan, go see it. If you like stop motion and Wes Anderson, go see it. Like,
I agree. Everything about it was beautiful. The animation was really cool. Just real quick, I like the cut from stop motion to the 2D animation.
Yeah.
When it was on the news.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah. We'll get out of the movies here since we've been talking about this for a while, but Isle of Dogs is a super recommendation.
Yeah, you won't be able to find it in theaters, though. It's already gone.
It's still there.
I don't think so. Maybe in, like, the big, big theaters that... But now that Avengers is in there, that's taken, like, 10 theaters.
Yeah.
So...
But, I mean, I still checked. My local theater still had it.
Well, they took it out of mine.
Sorry.
But you're in the... you have the artsy theater. You have the theater where they play, like, independent films and they do the film festival and stuff. So that stuff stays around longer.
That's true. Yeah.
But this is over fucking Claremont.
Right.
Epic Theaters. They had, like, even when it finally got here, the very first week, they only had, like, two showings and it was in the smallest theater.
Hmm.
So there was, like, 20 seats in the theater and it was two showings a day.
Makes sense.
So it was only around for a week for me.
So Nintendo just made their big reveal that they're going to unveil everything about their online service. Maybe, well, who knows with Nintendo, not everything, but they're going to be talking in early May about their online service.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I had this one written out too, and that includes Virtual Console.
They did specifically say Virtual Console?
Well, because that's part of it.
It is, so.
So, like in the very last E3 Predictions podcast, I was saying I think that by E3 or at E3, they have to mention something about the Virtual Console and online service. And I was right.
I think they want Super Smash Bros. To really take center stage for E3, so...
Well, they already announced that.
That's what I mean, though. I mean, it's... Everything's kind of falling into place because Smash Bros. Is going to be their show, so they want to get the online service stuff out of the way quick. I bet it'll just be like a Nintendo Direct, just like a half-hour Nintendo Direct in the online service.
Well... Maybe. I don't think they could spend half an hour on the online service.
Well,
that would be great. I'm excited. I really, because I love more so than, like, because games, I can get news from wherever. I could look up gameplay videos or, you know, previews from review sites. I love stuff like functionality wise. When you show me new features of a device that or whatever, that's really, as a like a tech nerd, that's the stuff I love. And, you know, services and things like that, online service. Curious to see what they're doing with the voice chat, because I think they have all the statistics of who uses their voice chat stuff. So they know that nobody likes it.
They know that
nobody uses it. Yeah. Nobody uses it.
Yeah.
So that's a fix they have to make. And honestly, that's probably why they pushed it back, because it was supposed to be October of last year.
Yeah.
And then Splatoon and the voice chat app launched in July, and they probably saw that nobody used it, and they were like, well, now we have to come up with a totally new thing.
Yeah.
Because if you're telling me that I have to pay for an online service and to play Smash Brothers online with my friends, and I can't even chat with them reasonably, because the reason why nobody uses it is because it's fucking garbage. So there's no reason. It would be easier for me to get a house phone and call you on it and hit the speaker function and just set it on the desk next to me. That's how bad the voice chat app is.
I mean, that's pretty much what I would do with Discord. That's the only way I communicate with Twitch right now.
Yeah. So
if they actually create some sort of party system, something. So I'm feeling optimistic. I'm feeling cautiously, a party system
would be so
optimistic.
Amazing on that thing.
Because Nintendo's refused to do any like no-brainer online things, but now they're wanting to charge. So please, if you're going to charge, at least start making these efforts to do something.
Well, so this actually, we'll stay on this topic, but something that I want to mention real quick that was one of my topics was that they just announced that they're getting a new president.
Yes.
So Shuntaro Furukawa.
Of Nintendo of Europe.
And so he's younger. Yeah. That's a big...
He's like 47, 48.
Right, and that's they made it a point, though, to point that out and say, we want someone younger to be in charge. And it's because of stuff like this.
Yeah.
That you... And so I don't know if you saw the newest update. He came out and made a statement. It's kind of bizarre, honestly, because he doesn't even take over the job until June, I think. He came out with a statement and was just like, I really respect Miyamoto. He's like, I really respect Miyamoto, and I'm friends with him, and I've worked with him for a long time. But basically, he was like, but I run the country. I run the company now.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. He actually said that, which is kind of bizarre that they would say that publicly, but... Yeah, he actually said that. He was just like, yeah, I have great respect for Miyamoto, but I'm coming in and running things now.
But I run the show now.
Yeah. And it's because there's been stories coming out about it for years of not just him, but just the old-timers there in general basically telling the young guys to take a back seat and be like, we don't care about your suggestions or whatever. And that's what's resulted in these bonehead decisions of just like they clearly just don't get online gaming and stuff. And, you know, we brought it up before. There's that article that came out where they found out that, like, the people running the online service at Nintendo had never even looked
at Xbox Live. Yeah.
And that's just hubris. And that's what you end up with a Wii U when you have hubris. Like, that's, you know, tale's old as time. So, yeah, it's... It's exciting. I'm hoping that the last few years have all pointed to this happening, essentially, which is like we're moving further and further away from the old shit, the old, you know, bonehead decisions of we don't know what we're doing, to bringing young guys in. You had that guy, the new guy who's in charge of, like, I forget his name, but the guy who presented the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
Like
the head guy from Mario Odyssey.
Yes, exactly. And they've put him in a bigger role. He's a younger guy. And the president, who's now is stepping down, he's like 65. He's saying, yeah, we need younger leadership in here. And the Switch, that was like, even though they haven't done everything we want, they've definitely started moving in the direction of we're listening to what you're saying. You know, Mario was a big example of that. We're just like, we've been listening to the fact that people have been saying for years that they don't want more Mario 3D World type stuff and want more open world Mario. So that's what they gave us. And you've been kind of moving in that direction for a while now. So I'm hoping that the combination of the E3 coming and the online service being announced or being gone over in the coming weeks, hopefully sooner rather than later, because I'm really excited to hear about that.
Yeah.
And then the virtual console with it and the new president, I'm hoping that we're going to get we're going to move in some good directions. And man, I would love so much to have a party on there. Just not even having to play the same games, but just you're on playing whatever and I'm playing my game, and you know, we've got a group of people on there, we just talk or whatever and just be, it's just, you know, so easy. It's so simple and easy, and just to make that experience streamlined. Because if I'm already on my system, it takes so little effort to just be like, oh, let me just create a party with Bowman.
Yeah. And hop in. I see my friends pop up online. It'd be so great if I could just join them. What are you up to?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm playing this game. We can just sit there and chat. All right, well, when you're done with this game, we're going to play. It's such a simple concept.
Right.
We're like describing something that's been done for 10 plus years now.
Yep.
And
yeah, it's...
And we're like going to be excited that they decide to actually do it.
Yeah. And like you said, they have this... They have the thing where it pops up when someone comes online.
Yeah.
But you can't do anything with it. All I can see is what they're playing.
Yeah.
I don't even think you can send a text message.
No.
So
nothing.
Yeah. It's worthless. So yeah, I'm excited for that. I'm hoping that their virtual console is going to be, I imagine we're going to find out about it the same day. Because it's that's part of the online service. Really hoping that it's a combination of, yeah, if you want like a PlayStation Plus, where it's like, yeah, these are the free games for this month, but I really hope it's not limited to that.
Yeah.
And that it gives me an option of buying a game. Because the games cycle in and out, too. They're not going to be there. They said so. They're like, once the month is over, whatever, new games come and those old ones go away. Really hoping that... you get the option to like buy a game I really want so I can have it on there all the time.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, a virtual console, an actual store on there. That's what I would really, really like to see. So, and then while we're on the subject, they announced that E3 is going to be focused on Smash Brothers.
Right.
Thankfully, up until this point, they haven't flat out said what they did with Zelda, which was, it was only Zelda. I don't need a 30-minute conference on Smash Brothers. You know, I want to see the other games that are coming out. And last year, that's what they did. Granted, it was not last year, but the year before. Granted, it was before the system came out, and it was before the system was even officially revealed. So that's probably why they didn't show any games, because that was the launch game, and the system wasn't even revealed yet. So I don't think they'll do that again. That was a sinking ship when they did that. That was like a Hail Mary. They were like, we're so fucked right now that we don't even want to show you what else we're working on. Let's just focus on this one main thing that we've got coming out.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll ever do that again, hopefully. It's going to be focused on Smash Brothers. You were right. I think we mentioned in the last podcast, they've on the floor. They're going to have it playable at their booth. So I'm curious to see what their booth looks like. Their stuff's always insane. It's like Disney level setups.
I wonder what type of collector's editions they're going to announce. I'm sure there's going to be some sort of big box Smash Brothers.
Yeah, probably, and I'll probably buy it.
Yeah. Probably buy it too.
They've been doing that a lot, and they never used to do that.
No.
Never.
No.
And now, like, every game they come out with.
Well, once again, it's just Nintendo being like, oh, this is what people want?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure, here you go.
Yep. Hopefully it's not like the Zelda Collector's Edition, where it's just like a really shitty plastic statue.
I have that.
I know. So, yeah. What else? You got anything else for us?
I don't got much else. All I got is that the Chucklefish announced Eastward RPG, which I think people should watch that trailer. It looks really cool.
Okay.
Did you watch it? You did.
No.
You didn't watch
I flipped through it.
Eastward? Oh, it's really cool. It's not Chucklefish, which is the studio that brought Stardew Valley. They're not exactly making the game. They're supporting another company making. I think they're called like P-Pixel or something like that. They're located in China. And they're coming out with a... I hate using this because it's kind of become like a Dark Souls meme almost. Mm-hmm. Where anytime like any obscure RPG comes out, people go, oh, it looks a lot like Earthbound. Anything with like clever, cool-looking sprites and graphics and stuff gets compared to Earthbound now. But like, this looks amazing. And it does look like a Mother sequel almost, because it's just the pixel art is like extremely detailed. It's going to be like an action RPG. And the music was really catchy. And I love overly detailed animated pixels, and you don't see them done well often. I can't even really think of like pixel art, like where it's like almost kind of like even playing Wild Guns. Like Wild Guns got like really detailed pixel art, but even more detailed than that.
Okay.
Where it's got like full animation. Oh, well, I guess the best comparison I can come up with is like Metal Slug,
right?
Where the it's just like. Nothing is like a skimped over at all. It's like fully animated everything.
Okay.
So
yeah, I flipped through it. It looks interesting. I was busy. I didn't watch the whole trailer, but I would watch a few seconds and skip 30 seconds ahead or whatever just to see the different locales and get an idea of the humor and stuff like that. So
yeah,
looks good. Looks interesting. I like Earthbound and you know, it's. I'm sure I'll probably check it out if it gets good reviews. Stardew Valley is awesome, so that should be an indicator of the quality of the studio, whether the guy's programming it or not. I'm sure that he wouldn't put his name on anything that he didn't want to back. So
yeah,
they have a good track record so far, is what I'm saying. Yeah. So,
For me, it's a day one purchase. I'm already pretty set on it. Like, and I actually will get the PC version, too, when it launches.
For me, it's a year two purchase when they come out with a physical version.
Right. I'll buy it again if I like it that much.
Yeah.
So I'm super psyched about it. Recommend it. It's called Eastward. You can find a trailer on YouTube. And there is a website as well. Or something.
Speaking of physical versions, Chucklefish, where's my Switch? Stardew Valley.
I'm sure... They're waiting, maybe, because they're focused on that multiplayer, which is still not out yet. Which
that was supposed to come.
So that's coming out on PC pretty soon, in quotes. He says it's pretty much done, and it comes out on PC soon, and then it'll follow with the Switch, and then after the Switch, it'll come out on all other consoles. Because, like, that was the one promise he gave to the Switch, was that we're going to get, Switch users will get multiplayer first.
I promise.
So... I think a physical version is coming. There's no doubt that it's not going to be happening.
All right.
So.
Well, we'll just end this with what have you been playing recently?
Oh, dude, I've been playing. I decided to marathon the Mother series.
Okay.
So speaking of Earthbound, I went ahead and finally started playing Mother 1, mm-hmm. which it did come out on the Wii U Virtual Console, I think almost like 2-3 years ago now, maybe 2 years ago, maybe like a year or two ago.
A couple years at least now. A
couple years. And they called it Earthbound Beginnings. And it was a huge deal because it was the first time that Mother 1 ever came out officially in America. It never came out before. It was only a leaked prototype ROM in the past. That was the only way you could play it. So, super happy with it. It's definitely a Nintendo RPG. It's got a lot of random encounters, a lot of grinding. There's parts where I'm like exploring like a maze and I get out of a fight and then I take 2 steps, another fight, and I'm like, God damn it.
Is there a way to set it on like auto or anything like that?
I mean, there is an auto, but I mean, like, you don't want to, because usually I haven't tried the auto yet, but usually in Earthbound, like when you put auto mode, you make stupid decisions. Like, he's just like, all right, let me just cast my most powerful move on this rat. Like, so it's like, great, there goes all my PP, what's what they call it?
PP,
psychic power. So I've been playing that, and I've also been finishing up I've been playing 2 games right now, because I play Mother 1 like before bed, because it's like I don't know, I have a strange fascination and interest in turn-based RPGs as I get older. because they're great wind down games for me.
Like, yeah,
I love, like they, I can just like if I play like a super, I can't play Dark Souls before bed because I'm gonna go to bed stressed out.
Yeah.
So with turn based RPGs, I can just sit there and grind out and stuff. And the thing is, I actually still enjoy my Wii U. I'm probably one of the few people who actually still has it hooked up. So
I got mine hooked up. It just is covered in dust.
So I actually will play it out in the living room, and I'm getting sleepy, and I like, and I'm getting restless in bed. I'll have my Wii U gamepad with me, and I'll play it before bed. But I've also been playing Miramasa Rebirth, which I told you about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm halfway through that. And Miramasa, like those of you out there, if you have a Vita or a Wii, and you don't, I've never played Miramasa. It's fucking phenomenal.
Like it's a cheap game too.
It's cheap. Yeah, so it's the animation is like gorgeous. If you got one of them first gen Vitas, it looks amazing on that OLED.
I do
screen.
Have one of those first gen Vitas. And I own the game.
Recommend that game enough. It's really good. And the thing is, I never really found myself big on like action side scrolling RPGs like this, but it's really good.
Is it a side scroller?
It's a side scroller, yeah.
I thought it was like a third person, like Ninja Gaiden 360 version.
No, it's like 2D animation, completely animated.
All right, well, now I'm more interested in it.
You would love this game. Yeah. And there's a normal mode and hard mode, and like you gotta play hard mode.
I thought it was like an action hack and slash type of thing.
It is hack and slash,
but a third person 3D.
A second one. Yeah. And there's and for some reason when it comes to side scrolling hack and slash games, there's so much more strategy to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to be really careful about when you should attack, when you should
evade.
Well,
that's why I'm interested now, because I thought it was like a hack and slash, like the Dynasty Warriors or...
Like Senran Kagura?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So
definitely recommend it. There's DLC with 4 extra storylines after you're done with it, and apparently those are really cool.
Okay.
And the music, it's all traditional Japanese stuff, so the music, I'm rambling too much, but the music is, like, amazing. And every track has a B-side to it, so when you get into a fight, it seamlessly flows into the B-side track, okay. The battle version. So, like, I've listened to the soundtrack while I'm studying because it's, like, so good.
Okay, cool.
So, can't recommend it enough.
All right.
What about you?
I've been playing a lot of Wild Guns on the Switch.
I heard you have some pretty choice words when I walked in while you were playing.
Yeah, it's extremely hard. Very hard game. For those that you don't know, it was a Super Nintendo game that's extremely hard to find, rare. It's like a $200 loose cartridge, and they just re-released it not long ago on the PS4, and then they finally came out recently, like last week, with the physical copy of it on the Switch. It's a GameStop exclusive. Definitely recommend, if you have any interest in it at all, going out and trying to hunt down a copy, because I have a feeling it's going to be very hard to find later on down the line. My GameStop got one copy. I've read on forums and stuff that other people's GameStops only got one copy. So yeah, this will be a hard one to find if you decide down the road that you want it. Watch some gameplay footage. It's awesome. It's arcadey shooter, like you're behind the back you're a cowboy, and you have to basically rid the town of the bad guy who's taking over the town. There's bad guys everywhere and they're ruining the town, so there's no story at all really, but
no,
it's very action based, arcadey. The way I compared it to you was it reminded me of Terminator 2, the arcade game, where you move a reticule around the screen and kill guys that pop up. But it's an added difficulty and gameplay element where... So if you like arcadey shooters, you'll like it. And then it's an added difficulty of, like, you have an actual guy. Instead of, like, in Terminator 2, the arcade game, you just have the reticule. And, like any light gun shooter or whatever, people pop up, and if they manage to shoot you... you lose health, but you yourself is just the screen. So if they shoot at the screen, you lose health. This is that you have an actual guy that you control running around, and people are trying to shoot your guy. So you have to, on top of move your reticule around and shoot people and also pick up power-ups and things like that, you also have to dodge and move accordingly. So Super fun game, arcade-y, up to four people can play at once, and there's actually different campaigns for the multiplayer and the single player. It's a definite recommendation for me. I loved it.
I recommend it. Stop by your GameStop. You might find it. I mean, I went to a GameStop, and they had their only copy sitting there still unsold.
But it was also the first day that it was on sale.
No, I'm talking about... I went to a store recently.
Yeah.
And the guys at the GameStop didn't even know what it was. They were like, we got one copy, no one reserved it, we don't know what it is, it's just sitting there.
Yeah.
And it's going to be one of those games where you're going to regret you didn't buy it, because Switch games, I feel like, are going to be very weird with collecting down the road. Switch people are weird already. They pick up these games quick.
Yeah. So if you're into game collecting and all, consider this a scoop, because me and Bowman are veterans of game collecting now, and we can kind of spot when a game is going to be hard to find.
Yeah.
This one will, if this is the only print of it, which it probably is, because it's just an obscure indie title from Natsume, which is infamous for having rare games. Like, they're the publishers of the Harvest Moon games.
Yeah.
So they usually will do one print, and that's it. And, so consider this a scoop, that if you're into game collecting at all, you like arcade games, and you have a Switch, go out and try and hunt down a copy of this Wild Guns on Switch now, because you probably won't be able to find it later. And it's a really great game. Beautiful sprite work. And, I can't say enough good things about it. It's a ton of fun, especially with a group of friends and stuff.
Oh, yeah, so I'm having a blast with it, too. I like it.
Yeah, so on that note, I guess we'll get going. If you made it this far, thank you for listening. And you can subscribe to us on Google Play Music, iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and so on and so forth. And we have a YouTube channel where we post video versions of the podcast. So that's the Game Boys with a Z on YouTube. And thanks again.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Guys. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.